We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey!
It's Big Shot Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I lose track, yeah. Hey, real quick, off of the top, before I forget, and I won't forget, it's on my mind constantly, I wanted to thank everybody, and I mean a lot of folks that for their prayers for my mom. You know, there's nothing worse. Nothing worse. And my mom is in hospice, and everybody knows, and everybody's been so wonderful about it. Too weak to live, too strong to die. It's horrible. Anyway, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you all who have lost loved ones understand what it's like, and it ain't easy. I always tell people, if my mom was 190, I wouldn't want her to pass. Just the way it is. We're going to talk about a lot of different things today. We're going to talk about Steve Matakovich, who I know very, very well, Pittsburgh cop who in all likelihood will be headed to prison today in a scathing government prosecutorial pre-sentencing, pre-report that is amazing. We're going to talk about the Republican tax plan. We're going to talk about this so-called candidate in Alabama, Mr. Moore, and a whole lot more. But we have Mike Torzai here. I've known Mike for years and years. And how are you, Mike?
Marty, really well. Thank you.
For you personally, this is an historic day, sir.
It is, Marty. And first of all, just on your mom, I lost my mom quite some time ago, and my heart goes out to you. God bless.
Yeah, it's horrible. This is one of the most significant days in your life, sir.
It is, Marty. You know, I'm going to run for governor, and you know, you never take that kind of a decision lightly. It took some months over time for Lydia, my wife. She's a pediatrician. We have three boys to, you know, be comfortable with it. But I have to say, Lydia gave me a card last week, and it said, it's now or never on the front of the card. And she wrote a note in it, and she said, go for it. You have our full love and support. And that was sort of the defining moment to just say, let's do this and make a change for Pennsylvania.
Well, she's an amazing woman. Hey, this is interesting because we had talked a long time ago. You were going to announce, I think, in June or July. Why the delay, sir?
You know, Marty, I was thinking about it, and I felt like I had to get a place mark in to let people know that I was thinking about it. And that was really from a lot of people, you know, who are friends and supporters. They're like, oh, Mike, these other folks, they're out so early. You know, more traditionally, it is after the November election.
Yes.
Prior to it. So I'm actually more in a traditional mode. But they felt like, oh, Mike, you just have to let people know you're thinking about it. So that's why what we did. But I'd always told folks it had to be after the budget fight was done, and went on a little longer than some of us had hoped. But there were no tax increases, as you know. And it was that. And then we did this event with Coach Lou Holtz. We do an annual fundraiser, and there just was a lot of energy. And we were so excited. And I think that just put it all in perspective. And I said, now's the time to do it.
Hey, for you, why? Why is this important to you, sir? And why should Pennsylvanians care?
Marty, like you, I'm a lifelong Pennsylvanian. I love this place. I love Pittsburgh. I get all across the Commonwealth. I've been in all 67 counties. I'm Speaker of the House, twice unanimously elected by Republicans and Democrats. And the thing is, could you find like a greater place to raise kids? And here's the thing. I want to make sure that there's economic opportunity for kids. I want to make sure that every kid has an opportunity to get a great education. I want to make sure that the quality of life not only is where it is, but gets better. And it's about jobs. It's about manufacturing. It's about energy independence. Pennsylvania is special. And Pittsburgh is particularly special.
You're going to have to raise a hell of a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
A godly amount of money.
Yes.
That when we were growing up, and JD's here as well, that when we were growing up,
yes.
And we would never have imagined it would take this amount of money. JD, John Delano's, they're saying $40 to $50 million, right, John?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. We've got multimillionaires in this race because the governor himself, obviously Tom Wolf, has plenty of money of his own. And as Speaker Terzai know, he's running against a fella in Paul Mango, who's a multimillionaire. So I think we can expect at least that kind of money to be spent, including some outside money that will come into the state, because there are lots of special interest groups on all sides, frankly, on all sides, who care about who's governor of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's interesting that this has now, sir, become who can raise the most money. It's kind of sad to me personally, and it immediately goes negative. In Wolf's, now these aren't his personal ads, but the ads running, he goes after Tom Corbett.
Right out of the get-go.
Right out of
Marty.
The get.
Yep.
Right out of the get.
I've seen them.
And so here we go. So all we're going to do is beat up on each other for the next year?
Marty, here's what I think, first of all. It's interesting on the money side, you and John Reyes. I'm the only candidate without independent wealth. I've got a freshman at Notre Dame that we're putting through college. We're not getting any money. I've got a senior who is looking at schools, so we're going to be paying for two college tuitions at one time. We both work, and I think we can relate to everyday people. You're right. Everybody else can stroke a check. I cannot stroke a check. There's not going to be any Mike Terzai million to $5 million to $10 million checks to run a race. I'm going to have to go raise it. But that means you just have to be smarter, and you have to go make your case, I think, on a grassroots level, and I'm going to run that kind of race. Who would think that, you know, the Speaker of the House would be running an insurgent race? But that's the kind of race we're going to have to run.
All right. We have Mike Terzai with us. We're going to ask him a couple of questions, and if you folks want to jump in, 866. He just announced formally, it was all over the papers yesterday, 866-391-1020. We're talking to Mike Terzai next. Marty Griffin. We have Mike Terzai here, also JD, my close friend, John Delano. All right. Hey Mike, I have personally been critical of the legislature. You know this. You probably hear from your people. We haven't talked to you in a while. You kind of went, we lost you for a while. You kind of disappeared in this battle. And my question to you has always been, and you know this, we've been going at this a long, long time. You've always been stand up with me. Why would I vote for you? If you're the leader, you're probably the second most powerful man in government in Pennsylvania, and you can't get a budget passed. Why would I vote for you if you can't get that done, sir? Marty. Hold on, man. I can't even push a button. Go ahead, Mike.
Marty, here's the thing. I'm sorry, but if the governor is once again asking for billions of dollars in new tax increases, you just want us to cave? I don't think so. Somebody's got to stand up to this guy. I mean, in that first go-round, what did he wanted taxes on personal income tax, sales tax. He wanted to increase taxes or expand taxes on daycare, caskets, diapers. Enough is never enough with him. and somebody's got to stand up. I mean, somebody has to understand how regular people live their lives. And here's the thing. They wanted to tax home heating bills. They wanted to tax your home electric bills. And for what? And here's the thing. I know this is tough to understand, but keep in mind, under Corbett, we saw the tax revenues coming in, and this was after a 2008 economic recession, Marty. Rendell got propped up by federal stimulus money for 2 years. Federal stimulus money goes when we take back the majority and Corbett comes into office. Somebody's going to make some tough decisions, right? Here's the revenue coming in. The recession hadn't recovered at all. And what are you going to do? We made some tough choices in welfare. We actually maintained an increased state amount of spending on education. So it's a lie when it says we cut education, because we did not. The federal stimulus money was gone. Okay, so, but we always had a balanced budget. We always did it on time. And we never increased anybody's taxes. Now, Wolf comes in, and in 1617, his budget staff, artificially inflates the revenues, and the revenues or taxes aren't coming in to the same extent that they inflated them. So we have a $1.5 billion hole that we don't have to have. So either you are going to increase people's personal income taxes to fill their mistake. And the governor, when did the governor have a proposal on this? What, he threw out some LCB proposal in October where he was going to borrow money against the LCB? Nobody's ever seen the details because it's completely phony.
But we ended up borrowing money instead.
No, we used tobacco settlement money. It was the Senate idea. And here's the thing. It's a one-time problem, and we look for a one-time fix. It's a Let's hope it's a one-time problem, Marty. And you know what? Somebody had to stand up to the governor and say, this isn't happening again.
But there's an impression, and you know, look, you know this. You're a smart man. You know, yes. There's an impression of the folks who listen here in your region that you can't get it done. I mean, people can't stand the fact that you – do you not agree with me on that?
Marty, we got it done.
But again, months and months and months and months.
Marty, the fact is the expenditures, the limits on the expenditures were already set. The tax revenues were coming in. Nothing got shut down. We had to resolve how we were going to pay it, and the governor disappeared on us. Let's be honest. He couldn't deliver a single Democratic vote because they weren't with him. Marty.
Statement from Democratic Party, and you've read this already. They accuse you of paralyzing state government and causing a credit downgrade so he could advance his own political ambitions and protect his donors in the oil and gas industry. Respond, please.
Okay, yeah. Marty, to even read that, I can call up Harry Reicha, one of my good friends who's a Democratic legislator, and ask him. Ask him how things really worked. Call up Dom Costa. They'll tell you. They may not go on record and say it, but they'll tell you. Here's the thing. This guy doesn't have a sense as to how real people live their lives. He thinks he knows better because he's been entitled all his life, and he doesn't have a sense as to how everybody lives. And he just wants to throw more money without accountability at a wide variety of things so that he can be Santa. That's what it's about, Marty.
Here we are attacking the governor rather than talking about you. What we ended
Marty,
up doing,
we held the line on taxes.
But what you ended up doing was something that really irritates me.
Yes, sir.
Now we have online gambling.
Yes.
And the biggest gambling addicts out there are teenage boys online.
Yep.
And nobody talks about, here we go again. Let's go to this syntax. And I've talked about this on the show. Let's put them in daycare centers. Let's put them in bathroom stalls. It seems a ridiculous way to prop up the government by A, borrowing money, and B, initiating online gambling, sir.
First of all, it was a one-time problem with a one-time fix. Expanded gaming was a separate discussion. I'd always voted against expanded gaming. I actually do support it. I've come to support it in these small businesses and taverns and bars because I think they need to be put on an equal playing field like casinos. That I do believe that. I think that. I think we need to worry about the small guy and not just the big monopoly that's already been controlling this. But here's the thing. I didn't negotiate it. The governor negotiated that with the leaders and primarily in the Senate, and we voted for it. But that's not how we're taking care of what we're doing moving forward. There's a one-time problem created by the governor, and we had to fix it, and he wasn't offering any solutions to get it done.
Let's let Bruce jump in. We need some leadership. Come on, Bruce, jump in here for Mike Torzai.
Okay, Mike, here's the thing. Are you on board with the GOP's tax revamping, and are you also on board with repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act?
Thanks. Bruce, I'm not a federal legislature. Right. In the federal legislature, I'm in state. But let me tell you, I absolutely believe that we need tax reform on a federal level.
Me too.
I think it needs simplified. I think there need to be tax cuts. And I think it will stimulate the economy. I think it's probably the most important thing that Congress can get done with the president. And I'm hoping that they get something done here by Thanksgiving and then ultimately by Christmas. On the federal level, here's the thing. We have to deal with the increased Medicaid costs that come from Obamacare. We have 750,000 new people on Medicaid in Pennsylvania, which we have to pay with your tax dollars because of Obamacare. Now, when we were under Tom Corbett, what we did is we offered a plan to the federal government where we wanted to reduce our costs to be able to pick up more folks on Medicaid. The Obama administration denied us. First day in, Wolf said yes without any request for cost savings, and we have to deal with these expenditures just like we have to deal with the increased pension costs.
Hey, do you fear a Trump backlash?
I do not.
You don't?
I don't.
What we saw in Virginia
You know, Hillary Clinton won Virginia.
What we saw in New Jersey.
Chris Christie had, I think, 15% approval rating.
Do you so you really think that you could still ride this tide of Republicans?
I Marty, I just see it as issues in leadership. The thing about President Trump, the reason he was able to win Pennsylvania where McCain and Romney did not. Remember, McCain and Romney did not. And this is, I'm convinced of it. It's he talked about jobs, manufacturing, energy independence. Now, do people like wish he didn't do some tweets? Yes, I'm sure of that. But still the focus, they felt like Washington needed shaken up. And as long as we stay with the message of jobs, energy independence, manufacturing, I think that's the key. And, you know, the thing about Governor Wolf is he doesn't want to grow the economy. And you use that line there about oil and gas industry. For goodness sakes, has anybody talked to anybody in Western Pennsylvania? You know, when there was an economic recession, there wasn't any activity. There wasn't economic activity.
By the way, I agree with him on this. We're going to tax an industry that's in trouble. It made absolutely zero sense. We've got Mike Torzai. He announced for governor. If you have questions, 866-391-1020 next. Marty Griffin, a pleasure to have Mike Torzai here today. You know this because your people tell you this. I reached out several times during the budget stalemate. You kind of went undercover. You kind of blacked out the media. Was that a reason for that? You just tell me. Tell me why.
Marty, do you have to be this astute all the time?
Yes.
You know, I felt like I could not move. I could not do the work that we needed to do to get this over the goal line if I were out in the media on the issues at that time. I just had to work really behind the scenes with the Republicans and Democrats in the House. I think you would be surprised to know how much. Let me just say this. The Senate passes with 14 Republicans, 20 Republicans voting no, and 12 Democrats voting yes, and I think 3 or 4 Democrats voting no. They sent a tax package over that increases your taxes on home utilities,
yeah,
right?
It's ridiculous.
Your energy bills, right. your electric bills, your telephone bills, right? And Marty, here's what people don't understand: there wasn't a single House Republican or Democratic vote. There wasn't a House Republican or Democratic vote. And so then everybody was there like, well, we're never voting for that. And so we had to work to find a resolution. The governor didn't put any resolutions on. You know, he said he backed the Senate plan, meaning he's backing these taxes on your home and, you know, your gas bill, your electric bill, your phone bill. And everybody in the House is there like, well, we're not doing that. But we had to fill this hole.
I had to work with people to get it done. Horrible leadership. The guy doesn't even sign the damn thing.
Yeah, hasn't signed a budget in 3 years.
Just walks away from all of it and lets everybody else fight over it. John, go ahead. Jump in here.
That's
John
completely Dallin. Correct, too.
Well, let me just ask this, Mike, if I may. I think there's a perception, at least from the outside, that...
Well, it depends on whose perception.
That's right,
John.
That's right. But those who watch the political scene will say, you know, Mike Torzai and the House Republicans are always at odds with the governor, the Republican Senate, the House Democrats, and the Senate Democrats. So you're always sort of the odd man out, the guy who's not willing to cut a deal. That's the way they portray you.
First of all, nobody is going to do an agreement that sells out the taxpayers. We're just not there. And here's the thing. The House Democrats, maybe not their leadership, but our friends particularly, John, you know a lot of my friends from Western Pennsylvania, both on the Republican and the Democratic side. They weren't going to be and they weren't for these tax increases. And as one of my friends on the other side said, when we did do the final votes, they said, you know, that was actually a package that everybody could vote for and get this over the goal line and move forward.
So you deny that you're the obstructionist in this process?
To throw those kind of accusations out, they're just so unfair. I'm a leader. I get people to move in the same direction. I'm positive. And our number one goal is to protect the taxpayer and to bring fiscal sanity to Harrisburg. And I'm sorry, there hasn't been that under this particular governor. And Marty's assessment is completely correct. He doesn't offer anything. He has a problem. He tried to sweep it under the rug, right? He tried to sweep it under the rug and never dealt with it. So we had to be the adults in the room who had to deal with it. And sure, there was never going to be a perfect solution. There was not, but we protected the taxpayers, and we have a one-time fix for what we hope is a one-time problem. And remember, this is a problem not caused by a Hurricane Irma. We didn't have a natural disaster. We didn't have an earthquake. We didn't have an economic recession. In fact, revenues grew. They actually grew a little over 2%. We'd just done taxes on tobacco, right? We had done that. So there was $750 million more new revenue in this budget. It's recurring. And yet we still had this shortfall from 16-17 because
they overestimated revenues.
Let me
jump in here because I like to hear from regular folks.
Yes, sir.
Mike, go ahead and Edgewood. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Mike.
You have Mike Torzai.
Yeah, good morning, man. I want to ask the speaker about the initiative that was on the ballot last time about school taxes.
Yes.
Would he and the Republicans be in favor of elimination of school taxes, which are killing people, and what would they replace it with?
Yes. You know, I do not support a statewide approach to it because you're gonna like almost double personal income taxes and you're gonna triple sales taxes to eliminate local property taxes. And I do think property taxes are stable. But I would say this. We supported, and we never got support from the Senate on this, we passed a bill under Governor Corbett, the House did. It had bipartisan support too. I think it had about 150 votes out of 203, where on a local level, because I really believe in local control of education. You do not want a super school board in Harrisburg, trust me, because the money's going to only go to certain school districts and you're going to be paying the bill. You do not want a super school board. I see how we distribute the money we get now, and we're trying to make it more fair, but we're not there. And what this bill would do is it would allow each school district, if they wanted to switch to an earned income tax, or a business privilege tax, so that you could still get business taxes, because if you eliminate property taxes, you're not collecting from commercial. Each school district could do that, either by a vote of the school board or by a vote on referendum in the school district. So if you want to do a shift, and it is a shift, you're not controlling costs. If you want to do a shift, it's best to do it on a local level so that you can have local control of education. That's my thoughts.
Which amendment that the voters approved means absolutely nothing unless you guys in Harrisburg pass legislation that allows the school boards to do this. Is that going to happen?
No. There's no way.
I thought that districts could do it on their own right now, John, was my sense of the referendum, and I should have that down. But
I thought enabling legislation, it empowers the legislature to pass enabling legislation.
That bill we passed two sessions ago with, I think it was 149 yes votes in the House. It did not pass the Senate.
Well, you're going to have to raise taxes to fill the gap.
Yes, you have to.
The whole thing was a mirage. So people think they're going to lose, they're going to not have to pay property taxes. You don't, the money has to come from somewhere.
Marty, that's what I always say the same thing. It has to come from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And the property tax is a stable tax. But I personally, I voted yes. You could shift it in part to an EIT or to a business
tax. Hey, I
got
to ask you this before the break, and I'm trying to get more
yes,
in.
Please,
and then I'm
going
to take some calls. So if Amazon comes here.
Yes.
The deal is they're asking states for $7 billion, which is a sick amount of money.
Yes.
Is Pennsylvania the kind of state that would sit at Wisconsin just gave $3 billion to Foxconn.
Yes.
Is Pennsylvania the kind of state that would give billions, and I mean with the B, sir, $5 billion plus to Amazon? Would they look at that seriously, sir, for them to come here?
Well, let me just say this. The governor circulated a letter that they asked us to sign on to. I was the last one to sign on. I was going to be a no. And it offers a tax credit to Amazon. That was part of the package that the governor's team, action team, offered. I've got to have to be honest, Marty. I don't know the full details of the tax credit or the amounts.
But it's $7 billion, $5 to $7 billion, a number that Pennsylvania would come up with to get 50,000 jobs here, sir. Is that reasonable, sir?
I'm not big into the corporate welfare stuff.
All right. I got to take a break. We'll
but there
right
is
back.
A tax credit that they offered.
Okay.
Them.
We'll be right back.
But more Trevor.
Marty Griffin. Well, so Mike Torzai and J.D. Hey, John in North Hills, thanks for your patience. Go.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Torzai, I was a little taken back when you started off answering some questions.
you brought up the governor's wealth, that he didn't know the common man and so forth. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what you said. I couldn't believe my ears. If you really think that, you must be appalled at the guy that's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Trump.
Yes.
He's a billionaire.
Yes, he's a billionaire. I would just say this. It's based on nice. My interaction. I just have to tell you, there's just no sense. From the governor, he's aloof. He just is.
Hold on, though. He has a valid point. You got a millionaire.
Well, here's my
and a
perspective on President Trump: energy independence, jobs, manufacturing. We've got to grow the
all
economy
right.
again, and that's where where I am. I'm just on those fronts. Sold. I just am.
So you believe in the snake oil salesman Trump? He's got to bring steel back. He's got to bring coal back. Come
all
on,
right, let's
Mike.
Get away from.
Well, the only thing.
Let's get away from here, Trump. I don't want to.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
Don't have much time.
But the only thing I would say, like, you got to go down and see the Shell plant down in Beaver County. It's real. It's thousands
yeah, but Trump,
of jobs.
Trump didn't do that.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying about Trump. I'm just talking about jobs.
All right, let's move on.
Hey,
by the way, sir, I love you. I think you make a significant point, and you know my feelings about Trump. He is a rash to me. He's so obnoxious. It makes me uncomfortable. Judy, North Hills, quickly.
Hey, Judy.
Hi. Yes, quickly. Hi, Mr. Torzai. I wanted to say that, from my view, a sales tax would be more equitable in forms of replacing the property tax because everyone buys something, a teenager, a senior, a retiree, two-income household, everyone in between. And also, that the value of a home does not necessarily equate to the quality of the education within the school. But a sales tax, I think, would everyone would be paying rather than the burden being on the homeowner.
Or on the income, somebody with income earnings, too. The only thing, Judy, there's not economic activity in every school district if you were going with the local level.
Right.
So you can't be sure of sales.
Well, you have poor districts. They'd be poorer.
They don't have it. You would have to do that on a statewide level, and I just have to say it continues to concern me. You do not want Harrisburg being a super school board. Just,
hey, JD, jump in here, please. A few minutes left.
Yeah. Quick question for Speaker Terzai. Mike, I know you're going to run for both governor and your state house seat at the same time. Mm. Some people would say that undermines your race for governor to put yourself on the ballot for two offices.
No, John, no. What I've said is that up to the time that I get the Republican nomination, when I'm the Republican nominee, I'm not going to run for the House.
So if you win the Republican nomination for governor,
yes,
you will step down
correct.
From your nomination. But you will have been nominated, presumably, if the voters vote for you for both offices. So what happens? How do they pick
they,
a replacement?
They do typically a conferee process.
So the Republican Party insiders will pick your
well and the Democrats would pick a nominee too. Both parties would pick nominees. Now if there's a Democrat that's already nominated through the regular in the primary process, that person remains a candidate.
So why run for both offices at the same time?
Well, look, I want to become governor and I want to win the Republican primary, and I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to be very positive, but I'm going to continue to run for the House seat until I become the Republican
nominee. All right,
nominee.
Quickly. George and Clareton, quickly. Go ahead, buddy. Thanks for holding.
Hey, George.
Yeah, it's Carnegie, but why?
Oh, hey, George.
Why? We have a strong man candidate in Mango, and we have you as a strong man in the legislature. Why dilute our Republican vote, Mike?
I just have to say I've been the person taking on Governor Wolf, and I've been leading on, look, I'm a reformer with results. The reason we have wine and beer in grocery stores is because I've been pushing full privatization of wine and spirits.
For years, actually.
That's why.
Yeah.
Number two, we have reduced our debt in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania by almost $1 billion. We could have even reduced it more if the governor would have stuck to his bargain, which he did not. He didn't stick to his word on it. We could have reduced it even more by we could have reduced it from $20 billion from $12 billion to $7 billion in just 20 years' time. That's where the 20 came from, over 20 years' time. He didn't fully back us, neither did the Senate, but the House passed it. But we did reduce it by over $1 billion, and we need to do more. That was my efforts with my team. We've been able to hold the line on taxes for years and have balanced budgets under Governor Corbett for four straight years because of my leadership. I have a great team. And if I didn't have that team across the state, Republicans and some Democrats, we wouldn't be a success. I've got a proven record of reform. When we came into the majority, we got rid of car leases. We reduced per diems. We contributed to health insurance. We reformed Harrisburg. I was the guy who voted against the pay raise. I led the effort to repeal the pay raise. I've been a reformer, and I've been getting stuff done with a team in a collegial approach, leading, and the other persons don't have any record.
Are you all right? Are you an angry guy? The paper says today you were banging on the governor's door. Did you do that?
Well, when he broke down, he was not in Harrisburg, anywhere to be found. Again,
you banged on his door.
He's always campaigning, and he broke his deal. They call up with a staff member and say, "Oh, we're not going to support the debt reduction deal." We're
you banged on his door.
It. Oh, yeah.
Good
knocked
for you, man.
I knocked on
all
the door.
All right. If you broke it, I'm your guy.
No, I didn't. I didn't break it. All my friends think that Lydia and I are a lot of fun, by the way. We're good people to be around.
Ben, quick. Go. Run out of time. Go.
Ben, you're on, sir.
Go.
I'm just shocked that you balanced the state budget by borrowing money. Isn't that completely fiscally irresponsible?
No, Ben. Let me explain it. Here's the thing. It was a state senate idea, but it was a one-time hole. There's a hole because the governor overestimated what the revenues were. You don't go and increase taxes to fill a one-time problem. Now, what we wanted to do in the House, but was not accepted by the Senate and the governor, is we wanted to use these special funds that are sitting there over on the sidelines and getting all these revenues that do not go through the budget process. We wanted to use those to fill that one-time hole. They didn't agree with that. We voted for that on September 13th. And we held together as a group. We're the only ones that held together. The Senate did it by increasing taxes on your utilities, okay? And they did it by splitting themselves with 14 voting yes Republicans and 20 Republicans voting no. So here was the compromise offered by the Senate. There's tobacco settlement funds. They're gravy. They're not part of the budget. They are offline. We use them for certain items. But many states have taken those tobacco settlement funds and put it into the general fund budget. What we did is we said we're going to take you get the present value of those funds, $350 million a year. You take the upfront value of it and you pay it off over 20 to 30 years to fill that hole. It worked and it stopped taxes, and it's a one-time problem with a one-time fix. It was the best solution on the table without increasing taxes.
Mike Torzai, thank you for doing this. Good luck to you, sir. JD, thanks, my man.
Always good to be with you. And Mike Turzai, let me just say real quick, he has been a reformer on some of those House issues he pointed out, and I think those are important issues
as
well.
Got to go.
John, thank you. Thank you, Marty.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.